The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
All right, how's everybody doing? Is it beautiful up here or what?
Amen.
And I wonder if people that live in more beautiful places than us think that places like this are beautiful. Every once in a while, I wonder about that. Debbie's always begging us, let's move to San Diego. And I tell her, if we move to San Diego, we have nowhere to go that's beautiful, you know. And I was like, what do we do? It's like, you're there already, right?
But
yeah, oh, that's true. Okay, she's got me on that one. But the thing is, I don't know, there's something about the valley, the people in the valley. Have you noticed the same thing, that the people in the Imperial Valley are the reason that you stick around, that you stay there? It's and when people come back to the valley, it's not because they're coming back for the weather, right? It's like they're coming back for the people, right? People they love and they care about. And so I love that about the Imperial Valley. I care about you guys and care about the folks that are there, because God cares about us too. God cares about you guys, loves you guys. I was thinking this morning, because today's Father's Day, and I took a picture. I haven't posted on Instagram yet, so you'll see it later. But I had two Father's Day gifts, one in one hand and one in the other. And one was a picture that my son had done for me at school. It was all nicely wrapped, and I opened it up, and it had it has like his silhouette on it. Have you seen those before when kids do that? Yeah. So I have one of those. It's all framed nicely. So I had that Father's Day gift in one hand, and the other hand I had a dirty diaper from my other son. And so it was like, you know, they both love me because they both gave me something on Father's Day. Actually last night I was... There was a young man who, I guess he's in his mid-20s, so he's a man. He came to our camp and shared his testimony, his story, and I noticed on Twitter that he was pretty down. As a matter of fact, he had said, Father's Day doesn't mean shh to me. And so I saw that, and I was like, oh, man, something's going on with this guy. So I sent him a message real quick, and I'm like, hey, bro, I'm like, I'm sorry to hear that. I said, you know, God is our Abba Father. Abba is a term that God's given us to call him, and it's just an intimate term, which just means like daddy. And I just said, I pray that that God is just your Abba, that God is right there, and he's wrapping his arms around you. And, you know, that's my prayer for a lot of us, because for many of us, I think that Father's Day can be, you know, an exciting and joyous time to hang out with our dads and do something nice for them, but for others of us, I think Father's Day is a day where we kind of experience a little bit of pain because of something that's happened in our past. Maybe our father's been taken away from us at a young age, or maybe our father abandoned us, or maybe just circumstances have come up to where dad is no longer a part of your life. And so let me just say this to you. If that's what you're experiencing today, if that's something that you're going through, let me just say this, that God is your Abba Father, and he is a dad that holds you close, and he loves you and cares for you more deeply than anybody on earth possibly could. Can you save it for later, son? Josiah has a question. So I just want to leave that with you guys, because I really don't want anybody to come into Father's Day and feeling like, you know, man, this day's not for me. I don't want anybody feeling that way, because this day is for you, because every single one of you has a heavenly father. Every one of us does. You may have an earthly father, and maybe your earthly father has made mistakes. Maybe your earthly father doesn't represent well who your heavenly father is. That's the purpose of us dads here on earth. You guys know that, right? As dads, the purpose of our lives is to reflect our heavenly father, and as much as we can to imitate him and to be his image. But if you don't have an earthly father in your life that is doing that for you, then I just want to say that God is everything for you. God God fills in all of those gaps because he is our Abba Father. And that's, to me, that just struck me last night as I was reading this young man's tweet, and I thought, man, you know, that's just what he needed to hear. He needs to know that. And for some of you today, I think you need to hear that same thing and to know how deeply God loves you and how much he cares for you. And you can celebrate Father's Day with joy and with excitement, knowing that you have a Father, a Heavenly Father, that loves you that much. Isn't it true? Amen. I mean, I think it changes everything. I really do. I believe it changes everything. And the fact that we have God in our lives, we can fall back on that and know that that's truth. Because here's the thing. Sometimes we fall back on things that we're not sure if they're true or not. Sometimes we fall back on things that are not trustworthy, and so we end up, you know, kind of being uncertain about the future. But if we fall back on God and the promises that he's given us in his word, then we know that it's true, and we fall back on truth. It's a huge difference. And this morning, I just want to read one verse to you, and I want to share some of my thoughts on this verse. But as we kind of get into what I have to say about Father's Day, I was thinking about my dad, and I was thinking about some of the times that that my dad disciplined me. And I don't know why, you know, it's like mom was always there, you know, yelling at us when we do something wrong, okay? But it was for some reason, when mom said those words, "Wait till your father gets home." You know what I'm talking about? When I would hear those words, there was just something about that just kind of made me shudder, right? Yeah, shiver. I was just like, no. I don't want to wait till dad gets home. As a matter of fact, I want Jesus to come before dad gets home tonight, because I wasn't looking forward to that. And check this out. It was more the fact that I had done something that I knew would disappoint my dad than it was that he was going to spank me. I mean, he was going to spank me, right? Don't get me wrong. But the fact that I knew in my heart that I had done something that was probably breaking my dad's heart, because I wasn't being like him. And so so that really bugged me when my mom would say that. And so so I'd hide somewhere, you know, go hide in the closet, something like that, right? try to find a place. But, you know, just like our Heavenly Father, there's like no place you can hide, right? It's not like you can find a place. Our house was only so big, right? There's not like a place I could hide from my dad. And the Bible actually tells us that there's nowhere we can go to hide from God. There's nowhere we can go to hide from his Spirit. And so I want to read a verse for you guys, and then we're going to kind of pick it apart and take some thoughts from it. So it's Ephesians 5:2. And you know, a lot of what I say today is going to be directed at dads, but the truth is that everything that God has for us in his word is meant for each one of us, okay? So every single one of us can take to heart the things that God has for us here. So Ephesians 5:2 says this. It says, "Live a life filled with love." If that's not a message for all of us, I don't know what is. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us. So I read this verse, and it's maybe not a typical verse you think of as a Father's Day verse, but let me kind of break it down for you. First thing I see here is that God wants us to be role models. He wants us to be role models. And I think for us as dads, sometimes the hardest thing for us to do is to not just say it, but to do it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's easy for us to tell someone what's right and what the right choice to make is. That can be really easy for us to do. But the most difficult thing for us to do is to follow through with something that we said. Follow through with something that we know is true. To follow through with it, that's probably the worst, or not the worst, but the most difficult thing that we could do. Sorry. So 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." So Paul writes this to the church, and I've thought about this before, how when he says, "Follow my example as I follow Christ," I think, man, is that a kind of claim that I could make? Is that something that I could say? Oh, thanks, Jerry. So you can't do that secretly, because the cup is so big, right? It's like me and Jesse got these giant mugs down here, so you can't sneak around with that bad boy. Thank you. I think I breathed in a leaf or something. But can you imagine saying to someone, follow my example because I'm following Jesus' example? I mean, that's, I don't even know if I would say that to someone. You know, do what I do, just, you know, go along behind me and mimic my emotions and everything that I do because I'm living the way Christ lived. Man, that's, I don't know if I could do that. But I think it's something for each one of us to strive for. Because truthfully, God wants us to live demonstratively in front of our families. Demonstratively, that means we're a living example of who God is to our families. And then Paul again in Philippians 3:17 says, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. So he's saying, okay, I'm living a life that's so closely matched up to what Jesus talks about that you can follow my example. And then even the people that are following my example, you can follow their example. So imagine that. Imagine if you had a group of people that imitated what you did. I'm going to say that again because maybe you missed what I'm talking about here. So imagine that you, as a dad or as a mom, have a group of people that imitate everything that you do. You know who those people are? Your kids. Yeah, that's right. So when I was in college one summer, I went door-to-door selling Bibles and encyclopedias. I know, it's like something people did a long time ago, right? But I guess it was a long time ago. Even back then, it seemed like it. So that summer, I'm going along, and so I'm meeting a lot of people. I'm seeing a lot, kind of getting a little peek into different people's homes. And I come across this one house, and that was one of the leaves I swallowed earlier. I come across this house, and there's a kid out on the front yard, and he had like a toy lawnmower, okay? And so he's going back and forth across his lawn, you know, and like he's mowing the lawn. I'm like, oh, that's cute. But I noticed something strange is that every time the kid would get to like the corner, he would like grab something out of the air, like something invisible that only he could see. And he would like flip it over his shoulder. I'm like, what is this kid doing? And he would do that every time he would, and then he would keep going. He would kind of like make sure it was on his shoulder. And I'm like, wait, you know, he's mowing the lawn. What is this kid putting on his shoulder? And I kind of thought about that for a while. Well, I visited the house, and then as I was leaving the house, they didn't buy anything, by the way, but as I was leaving the house, a little ego check there, right? As I was leaving the house, I walked by a lawnmower, and I looked, and it was an electric lawnmower. And I thought to myself, you know what that kid was doing? He was out there with his toy lawnmower that didn't have a cord, and he was grabbing the imaginary electric cord and flipping it over his shoulder. And you know how I knew he had to do that? Because we used to have an electric lawnmower when I was growing up. And if you don't have that cord over your shoulder, you know what happens? You run over it, right? And then you don't have a lawnmower at all. Okay, so this kid was imitating exactly what his dad was doing when he was out there mowing the lawn. But, I mean, he didn't even have the same stuff. And he was still imitating what his dad did. And I thought to myself, man, what an incredible picture of how much our kids mimic us. How much of an example we set for them. I mean, even when they're not in the same circumstance, in the same setting that we are, okay, i.e. the lawnmower with no electrical cord, right? Even when they're not in the same setting, they still are going to take on our attributes and our characteristics. Get another swig from my giant cup here. Don't be jealous. It's making you all thirsty, isn't it? So I thought about that. I'm like, wow, that is incredible that God wants us to live that kind of an example, that kind of a life in front of our kids and even in front of our friends, right? I mean, this is like an example he's calling us to set. So God wants us to be a role model. And then the second thing I see is that God wants us to be reliable, okay, to have reliability. In other words, God wants us to always be the same person. So I believe reliability is that someone can fully depend upon you, and that means that in every circumstance, you're going to react the same way, okay? So you're not going to be a different person in one crowd than you are at home, okay? You're going to be reliable. You're going to be dependable. People are going to know what to expect, okay? Maybe that's predictability, okay? And maybe when you're young and you're in a relationship, you know, and you're just starting things out, and it might be an insult to tell your boyfriend or girlfriend, hey, you're so predictable, right? If someone said it to you when you were dating them, you'd be like, oh, man, I got to step up my game, right? I don't want to be predictable. But to have your family say you're predictable, I think it's not a bad thing. You know why? Because they know what to expect. As long as the things that they're expecting of you are the things that honor God. Okay? Now, if they're saying you're predictable because you're always doing the wrong thing, then that would be a terrible, terrible description. But I think as the leaders of our family, as dads, I believe that if we're predictable, in other words, if our family can always expect the same thing from us, if our family expects that we're going to be reliable, that's one of the greatest gifts that we can give our family, if we can be consistent. See, because our deepest values need to be consistently reflected in our character and our behavior. And then I noticed this. There's an amount of humility. And you might not think this is a humble statement to make when someone says, you can follow my example as I follow Christ. But the truth is, they're putting all of the responsibility on Jesus. So when you tell somebody, hey, follow me as I follow Jesus, you're basically saying, look to Jesus, okay? I'm looking to Jesus. You need to be looking to Jesus too. And there's a certain amount of humility that says that. Because what we do is we transfer power from ourselves to God. Not that God needs our power, but in order for us to function in a way that brings God honor, we have to in some way surrender our power to God, surrender our abilities to God. And sometimes that means admitting that we can't do everything. That means admitting that we have faults. That means that when we make mistakes, that we admit that we were wrong and apologize for those things. That's probably one of the toughest things for us as men to do, is to apologize for something that we've done that's wrong. But I think it's one of the most God-honoring things that we can do. Philippians 2:3 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Now, that last part, you know, it's like you could stop the verse right before you get to that last part, right? It's like it almost sounds doable. Until you get to the part about thinking of others as better than yourselves. Man, what does that mean to think of someone as better than you? I mean, it doesn't mean that you have a bad self-image, right? It just means that you're putting their needs before yours. If you're a dad and you're putting the needs of your family before you, you know who's going to be the happiest family on earth? Your family. Because you're putting their needs first. You're putting their needs before you. And by the way, there is no happier way for you to live as a father than to put the needs of your family first. There's no happier or more peaceful way to live. I mean, sure, maybe it means you're not going to get to watch what you want to watch sometimes, but it means that you're going to have a contentment and a peace that comes from knowing you're doing exactly what God's called you to do in your family. And here's another thing. If our family can see the love that we have for them, okay? This verse says, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us. So God's love for us is measured by his sacrifice on the cross. What can our families measure our love by? What is it that we're doing that our families can visibly see and say, yes, that's an act of love that my dad is doing for me? Or that's an act of love that my family member is doing for me. What is it that we're doing in our lives that display God's love for our families? See, our love needs to have some sort of measurable component to it. And why do I say that? Because it's possible for you to love somebody, and no one's going to doubt your love for them, okay, if you say you love somebody. But there's nothing like following that love up with an action. There's nothing like following up that statement with an action. I mean, I could tell my wife I love her all day, but if my actions are not proving to her that I love her, then there's something wrong. There's something missing. And so our love needs to be measurable. In other words, it needs to be clearly communicated. So is your love being clearly communicated to the people that you love? Colossians 3:14 says, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. So we were at the beach yesterday and the day before that. and the kids were out, you know, splashing around in the water, throwing sand at each other and stuff. And so we were on the east side of the, I shouldn't tell you where we're at because this place is so beautiful and there's like no one there, right? And you guys are all going to be there next time. So We're at the bay, right on the east side of the bay, and it's just beautiful there, okay? And so there's like a place where there's not a lot of waves. You know, it's pretty calm water. So we took the kayak out, and the kids were able to play. So we had Josiah and his cousin Kevin were out there throwing mud at each other and stuff. Not mud, sand. Well, maybe a little mud too. Yeah, it looked like mud. Most of it was mud, okay. And so I was noticing that some of the kids that came up to play, they were wearing like, not like a wetsuit, but like it's like a thinner material. You know what I'm talking about? It's like kind of like a swimsuit, but you just like, you know, you're wearing it. Yeah, it's like a swimming shirt, okay? So I noticed a lot of kids were, like the one you're wearing, exactly. So a lot of kids were wearing that, and it's just to keep the sun off them, right? So I see the kids out there wearing those, and then I saw one kid that came up, and I think he had like his dad's on, okay? I mean, because this thing was like so like big, and he's like just moving along like he's like carrying water in it, you know, and sand and everything. I'm like, oh man, I feel bad for this kid. Like, how's he able to move because he's got that shirt on that's so big, taking up so much space? I started thinking about this, you know, if we clothe ourselves in love, there's something that is so freeing and unheavy about being clothed in love. Why is that? Because sometimes we really like to burden ourselves with a lot of things. We like to burden ourselves with a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, there are things that we just kind of carry with us in life that make it hard for us to move around. And so we're just kind of sluggishly making our way through life. But what God wants you to do is God wants you to get rid of all that junk, all that shame and all that guilt and all that stuff and leave it behind. And he wants you to take on this new clothing that he calls love. And that is where every action, everything you do shows love. So whatever it is that you're doing, the thing that people see is the love that you have for them. And it's not your love. It's God's love. So is there actually a way for us to take God's love and to wear God's love? Like, what does that look like? And I believe that looks like unselfishness. I believe that any time that we are being selfish or treating others selfishly, I believe we're trying to love them in our own way. I believe that we're trying to use our love to love somebody. And the truth is that our love is just too selfish. Our love is just too interested in our own needs and our own wants. And if we're able to set aside our own needs and our own wants and love people with God's love, I think we're in a good place. I also see that God wants us to be dependent upon him. Dependent upon him. It's hard for us because we want to be so independent, right? We want to say we made it on our own. We want to say that we did this. You know, I did it my way. And we want to say, look at the work that I accomplished. But the truth is, this life, the life that God's given us to live, it's not actually been designed for us to live it on our own. This life is not designed for us to live it without God. And the more dependence you have on God, the easier it is to live this life. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble along the way. It just means that you have God to help you through every issue, through every challenge that you face. And so depending upon God. But how many of us truly depend upon God? How many of us, when we're in trouble or when things are going wrong, how many of us go to God and bring those problems to him? It seems like that's like the last thing we do. You know, it's like, I've tried everything else. Okay, I'm going to pray, right? It's like nothing else worked, so I guess I'll ask God to help me. And I think that if we are dependent upon God, God is going to be the first one that we go to. Always. God is going to be the first one that we go to. We need to depend upon him. Psalms 37, verse 5. I love this verse. It says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust in him and he will help you. We need to trust God. We need to put our dependence fully, fully in him. Now, my son took off so I can tell a story about him. So my son used to not be afraid of heights at all. He used to just climb anything and, you know, it's like no big deal. But recently he's had trouble with, you know, something gets up a little high, he starts to get a little, you know, panicky. And so I'll be right there, you know, he's trying to help him up on the jungle gym or whatever it is. They still call them jungle gyms, right? All right, those things in the playground, right? The kids climb on, just so we all know what we're talking about. So he'll climb up on that, you know, and I'm like right there, but I can actually feel his body shaking, like he's scared, you know, like I don't want to climb any higher. And I'm thinking to myself, why is it hard for him to climb And I've noticed something, that when he's not facing me, he has a much harder time. He gets much more panicky. When he's turned to where he can see me, there's like this calmness that kind of comes over him. And I think it's the same way with us in our relationship with God. I think that for us, if we're able to keep God in our sight, there's something calming about that. When we're truly relying, dependent upon God, there's something calming about keeping God in our line of vision. Because when we lose track of God, what happens? We start to panic. We start to shake a little bit. Life gets a little bit less stable. And here's the last thing I want to leave with you guys today, that I believe God is telling us, that we need to be content, that we need to have contentment. You know, Christ gave us the sacrifice of his life. And you would think that that sacrifice would be enough to meet every single need in our lives. And knowing that we have a God that cares deeply for us and loves us, you would think that we could be content with that. But you know what happens? We start to look at other people, and we start to do the comparison game. We start to see what someone else has, and we start to see what someone else is doing, and all of a sudden we start to think that our life just doesn't measure up. But there's things that we're missing from life. You know, and we start to say to ourselves, why can't I do that? Or why can't my life be like that? Have you done that before? I mean, don't raise your hands, obviously. But, I mean, I've been guilty of that. I've looked at someone else's life, and I'm like, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I had that. And I've learned something. I've learned that if we can be content with what we have, if we can just listen to God and hear him telling us, let me be enough. Just let me be enough. I love this verse in Philippians 4, verse 11. It says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I think in America, this is probably one of the greatest challenges that the family faces, being content with what we have. And then 1 Timothy 6:8, Paul says, so if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Now, I love this because it doesn't say, you know, if you just have Jesus, you should be content, right? But it says if you have those basic needs met, you should be content. This tells me two things. First of all, I believe that there's probably none of us in this, underneath this canopy, or I was going to say in this room, but this is a pretty big room, right? But there's none of us that are here that don't have our basic needs met, okay? I mean, every once in a while, you come across a tough time and you're like, oh man, I might have to skip a meal, okay? Big deal, right? It's like people in other countries are eating once a week, right? So every once in a while, we kind of feel like our basic needs may be being challenged, but for the most part, we have our basic needs met, okay? So God is saying, you've got your basic needs met, okay? Now allow me to be enough, okay? Because I've provided for your physical needs. Now allow me to be enough. In other words, there are certain things in this life that you just don't need. There are things in this life that you just don't need. And you know what's crazy about it? I love what Jim Carrey said. Jim Carrey said, I wish every person could be rich and famous so that they could find out that it doesn't measure up, that it's not everything you need. I'm like, you know, I'd like to test that theory, Jim Carrey. Why don't you give me your money? You know, 1 week, I will test that out. But you know, you have someone who has fame and who has wealth. He has everything that he needs, and he's like, it's not enough. I've discovered that it's unsatisfying, that it doesn't bring me happiness. And that's a guy that doesn't even have a relationship with God. See, God knows for each and every one of us that if we receive something, a physical possession of some kind, it's like we always want something better, we want something more. Right? Have you ever done this thing where you might have actually done it today at the little buffet here, right? Where you have something and you think it's cool, you're like, oh man, this is awesome. And then you see someone else that has like the next best model, and you're like, oh, mine sucks, right? You're like, I want to throw it away, right? Because, yeah, you're in line. It's like you got the hot dog. You're like, oh yeah, I got my hot dog. And then someone else had the barbacoa, and you're like, Oh, man. What happened? I mean, that's how we are, right? We just can't really be satisfied with what we have. We can't do it. There's something about us. It's our human nature to always be wanting more. You know what the Bible calls that? It calls it covetousness. Have you heard that expression before? Okay? To covet is to want something that you don't have. Or it doesn't necessarily mean that you want it, but it means like you really, really, really want it, right? Or it's like, I'm willing to do something to get it, okay? But I love this quote. I'm not sure who said it, but the curse of covetousness is that it destroys manhood by substituting money for character. You get that? Let me read it one more time. The curse of covetousness is that it destroys manhood by substituting money for character. In other words, in order for me to take on this attribute of covetousness, I have to let something go. And it's usually a character quality that brings honor to God. And I believe that character quality that brings honor to God that we need to hold on to is contentment. We've got to learn to be content with what we have. You don't need something bigger and better. You don't. I mean, sure, you may think your life would be better with it, but I'm going to tell you this. As soon as you get that bigger and better thing, you're going to want something else that's bigger and better. It just, there's always something bigger and better out there. There's always something that you think is going to meet your need. It's going to be that much better than what you have. And the truth is, God's given you what you need. And so I believe that instead of us wanting something more, I believe that we need to be good stewards of what God's already given us. Because many of us, you know, we want something better, but we're really terrible stewards of what God's already given us. We can't even take care of and do a good job of taking care of the things that God's given us. You know, how does God expect to give us more if we're doing such a lousy job of taking care of what he has given us? So I think that wrapped up in this idea of contentment is being a good steward of what God's given us. And I think that contentment is a beautiful characteristic to pass on to your children. I really do. I think that if your children are constantly looking for something bigger and better, and they're constantly like, give me this, give me that, give me this, we've taught them that. This guy came to join the sermon, huh? Is that a blue jay? Yeah? All right. I know my birds. Had a mohawk, yeah. What would it take for us to be content with God? You know, I've asked myself that question because I struggle with that too, with allowing God to be everything to me. And I think that's a question that each one of us has to ask. What would it take for us? You know what I think it is? Here's what I think it is. If we're going to want something more, if we're going to say, I want more, I want more, I want more, let that thing that we're asking more of to be God. If there's one thing that we're asking for more of, let it be God. Because if we have more of God, we're going to want less of all the other stuff. That's the honest truth. The more of God that you have in your life, the less of all the other stuff the world has to offer you. The less attractive those things are going to be to you. The less you're going to feel like you really need to have that. When the reality is, God's given you everything that you need. And so just to kind of remind you that, you know, God is looking for us to be role models. He's looking for us to be more than just role models, but be reliable. God's looking for us to be humble. God is looking for us to show love towards others that's measurable, love that they can see and that they can feel. God wants us to be fully dependent upon him. And then God wants us to be content with what he's given us and to be good stewards of what we have. It's a pretty big assignment, right? I'll tell you what, it'll take an entire lifetime for you to get it right. That's right. But the good news is you have an entire lifetime to get it right. Okay? You have the days and years ahead of you to get these things right. And I think that if we get these things right, we're truly going to have happiness and peace. And we're going to be able to pass it on to our families, pass it on to their future family members. How does that sound? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this place that we can come, share some good food, fellowship, beautiful weather, God, all those things. We recognize they come from your hand, Father. But we know there's so much more that comes from you than just all these good things, Father. We know that you've given us some instructions, some guidelines, things that we need to do to live a life that brings you honor. And so, God, would you allow these words that we've heard today to just kind of rest in our hearts? Would you allow these thoughts to kind of sink in there, God? Don't let them just pass over us, God, but I pray that we would really reflect on these things so that we can be people that bring you honor, that bring you glory. And again, Father, I pray for anyone who can hear my voice this morning who is struggling with the notion of Father's Day. God, I pray that you would remind them, even now, that you are a father that loves them and cares for them deeply. And God, that there's no human being on earth that can take that love away, and there's no one that loves them more than you. And so I pray, God, on this Father's Day, that you would wrap your arms around them and that you would allow them to feel your presence and feel your love, and that they would have just this incredible happiness and peace that comes over them, knowing that you are our Heavenly Father. And I thank you, God, for what you've shown us today. And God, may these be just words that we reflect on, God, and that change our lives, that change who we are. Thanks, God. We love you so much. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.